Our first scripture reading is found in the book of Genesis, third chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and of all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And we begin reading at verse 16. "All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, the sixth chapter, and we begin reading at verse 63. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, but also the fine words of all our other scripture readings. But in particular, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." This is our text, and I think we'll ditch this microphone and just simply go to the pulpit microphone. You've been canceled. You heard that phrase. It's kind of a new phrase that has entered into our cultural language over the last few years. Years ago, it was harder to cancel someone, meaning that you no longer let them speak what they wanted to speak. Years ago, if you wanted to speak to a crowd, you could grab a soapbox and put it on a street corner and talk all you want. That was how information was distributed. You could print up things and deliver, and people might read them, they might not. But that's not how we communicate these days anymore. Our communication is largely electronic. Even people sometimes who are living in the same house might text one another. And if you're connected over Facebook and you don't like what somebody else is saying, now maybe they're a family member, maybe they're not, but you just push a button and you don't have to listen to them anymore. And it's not just individuals doing that. There are multiple examples that, you know, over the last few years, a lot of voices that were speaking things not popular with certain aspects of our culture were canceled in Google searches and all kinds of other things. Well, if you knew exactly where to look, you might be able to find them, but if you were just kind of randomly searching for them, they'd been canceled. But of course, canceling people, though the phraseology might be new, and while the methodologies may be somewhat new, canceling people has been going on since the first day mankind fell into sin. And there are multiple examples of how the world has been canceling a people all throughout its history. On this particular Sunday, when we're celebrating God's gift of human life, we can cite other examples of canceling people. Somewhat proudly, a few years ago, for instance, the nation of Iceland announced that they had almost completely eliminated Down's syndrome from their culture. But lest you think that some sort of medical miracle had been discovered by the people of Iceland, something quite to the contrary is true. If you were having a baby and you went in and got some of those new genetic tests that they can get these days, and you found out you were having a Down syndrome children, you just canceled them, aborted them. And don't think that it's done just for reasons of human afflictions. Go over to the nation of China or the nation of India. You know, in the natural order of things, there's a certain ratio of children being born that are male versus children being born that are female. Those ratios have been nearly the same for thousands and thousands of years, but not in China and not in India. Now they have incredible surpluses of males in their population. The reason being, in those particular cultures, having a male child born was more important than having a female child born. So simply, if you were the wrong gender, you were canceled. Whether it be growing old or simply being born. Our culture is not just a culture of canceling free speech. It's a culture of canceling human life when it doesn't meet your expectations. In our gospel lesson for today, we have a rare instance of people who are disciples of Jesus, trying to cancel him. Oh, granted, there were lots of people in the time of the ministry of Jesus Christ who didn't like what he was saying, but in John chapter 6 today, it's not just the people, the normal enemies, the Pharisees, the scribes, Herod's minions. Jesus was speaking the truth. He was the Christ, the Son of God. In him was life. But some people thought he was just going a little bit too far. Though they had been followers of Jesus, disciples for whatever reasons, they didn't want to listen to him anymore. And they used the old form of canceling someone. They just walked away. Jesus looked at his 12 chosen, among whom was Judas, who eventually also would not just walk away, but would try to literally end the life of Jesus, as if that could be done. "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." That he surely was. And thanks be to God that he is not like we sinners who live in this world, who when we simply disagree with someone, we don't like the type of person that they are, we just cancel them. The God created us as beautiful people, perfect in his sight. It wasn't long after creation and we became ugly to him. Humanity treated him as a liar. The words that he had spoken about that tree in the midst of the garden, which were words for their benefit and blessing, words that would keep them from dying. Well, they didn't like those words based on what Satan was saying. And they thought they could cancel God.
Do you really think that God will allow himself to be canceled? That if God has any words that he wants to speak to humanity, that we can forever block him out? That's ridiculous. But so man has thought ever since he fell into sin. Oh God, we don't like what you're saying. We're just not going to listen to it. So Adam and Eve thought, and they went and hid themselves in the garden. Like you can hide from God. God doesn't want to cancel us. He also doesn't want to leave us as we are. But God showed how he is different from humanity in its sin. That man that rebelled, that man that tried to cancel him, God sought him out. And though man could not cover his own shame, God made coverings for man. In an act which in some ways foreshadowed what would later happen to his son, another part of his beautiful creation he killed and skinned so that man's own shame could be covered. But that was not a permanent fix for man's problem. Ultimately, when the choice came between canceling us, canceling his own son, God went to his son and asked him to come into this world to take on our human flesh, that he might suffer the penalties we deserve. And in that, as I've remarked so many times, most amazing statement of Scripture, where God, who is one as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in some mysterious way abandoned his Son on the cross. And you hear those agonizing words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Modern paraphrase, my God, why have you canceled me? God, in a mystery we can't fully understand, abandoned his son that he might not abandon us, that we might hear his words. Believe in his love and in his truth. Believe in his forgiveness and believe in the hope that he offers us. And understand that all human life is precious to him. So precious that he would make the sacrifice of his own son that he did. That human life, even in all of its imperfections, might again be cherished and loved by him. That is the word that God wants the world to know. And we are the vehicles that God has chosen to bring that life-giving word to a world where many believe they can cancel God. But my dear friends, God will not be canceled. All throughout our lives, he will seek to restore us to himself. But if we do not believe the words of life that he gives to us, then he does have another word for us. And it is a word of condemnation and a judgment. Death
hell.
Those are the words that are reserved for the world that will not receive his words of life. But God be praised, first of all, that you and I, and others gathered here and around the world, have realized that in the words that God has given us in Scripture, in the words that God has given us directly from himself during the ministry of Jesus Christ on this earth, that in him we have that precious word of truth and life, and celebrate it. But let us also recognize that not all receive that word. Not in the days of Jesus himself and his own disciples. Many are those that would not receive his word. Even amongst the chosen 12, the people closest to him, ultimately, Judas would betray him. And Peter would not deny that he even knew the man. And what was true then is also true today. But let us not be mistaken. In Jesus Christ, we do have the only words of life. The only words that do say. And let us recognize that we are the vehicles God has chosen to bring the word of life to a world of the cancel culture. We're not just speech, but life itself is snuffed out if it doesn't meet our standards, if it doesn't fulfill our expectations, our wants, or our needs, if it looks like it might be a little bit too much of a burden to us, let's just cancel it. So thinks the world. But again, let us remember, God will not be canceled until he comes again. God grant we be faithful to those words of life that he has given us and follow them throughout all our days and do all that we can to speak those saving words of life in season and out of season, when it's welcomed and when it's mocked, even when people want to cancel us, speak the word. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.